When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some, I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time, turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding out, 5-hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
Ah, can't you see it? A glistening 100 megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Welcome back to the second guest show. Mike Natilla along with the Cajun Cannon, Bobby Hebert. It's our Christmas Eve edition of Second Guest. Bobby J and I will be here until 8 o'clock tonight. Come on by and visit us if you in the area. At 6:20, we'll have on with us Adam Hill, covers the Las Vegas Raiders. So we'll be talking about the upcoming game between the Saints and the Raiders. Let's go to our Oakwood Heart Jewelers talking text lines. Go to Jimmy. Jimmy, in the huddle with Mike and Bobby.
Hey, how y'all doing?
All right, Jimmy.
Hey, Jimmy, I know you got to be taking the family or probably extended family members to the game against the Raiders, right? The secondary market got to be looking good.
We're saving up. Tonight we're going to go, we're driving through the rich people's neighborhood. We're going to look at all the blinking lights for free. And we're saving all our money for Sunday. You're right, Bobby. You were right.
No, it's a real game. It's not preseason. Think about this. You know, you might have a neighbor or a friend or, you know, your kid. Dad, you never took me to an NFL game. And, you know, they don't know the difference between preseason and regular season. But you can say, no, I took you to a real game. Saints versus the Raiders come this Sunday.
Bobby, listen, the Raiders fans travel, unlike almost no other fan base. So what has kind of kept the price, I checked it out. The price is going to come down, but the Raiders fans travel, even if they're not that good. So I think you're going to see a lot of Raiders fans actually in town, win, lose, or suck. But, hey, look, I wanted to ask y'all a question. Okay, so what was it, Bobby, 20-something years ago, you know, y'all were talking about the Ditka era, and this is the first time in 4 years that we are not going to make the playoffs in a long time. I think since then, early 2000s, you know, I just looking back on those days, it felt like a lot of the big free agents didn't really want to come here because we were a dead end organization. We didn't have a marquee quarterback. And, you know, you had a situation where, you know, are y'all still there, by the way?
Yeah.
Like I was saying, 20-some years ago, it felt like we couldn't pull in good free agents. I feel like we're descending in that direction again, Mike and Bobby. And, you know, at post-Drew Brees, Sean Payton era, you know, when Drew Brees was here, a lot of wide receivers wanted to be here, offensive linemen. It was a place where it was easy for us to get free agents to sign the dotted line. I feel like this is, you know, depending on how the future plays out, it might not be a destination. So my question to you is, how do we avoid that? And Mike, question to you as far as the future of the quarterback position, let's assume we do move away from Derek Carr in a year or so. Do you think the best option is the free agent market? We just saw Atlanta try that. They struck out with Kirk Cousins. Or do you think the best route is drafting? Because to me, the drafting's a crapshoot. Seems like two out of three first-round quarterbacks are busts in the NFL now, you know? So what do you think the best situation is with that?
Okay, well, I think
you just
the draft,
have to pick the right player.
But you got to get the right guy. And I think today, the way the game is played, you are getting a more refined product at quarterback than you ever have. Because you know what? the college game and the pro game sort of mimic one another. They sort of all look the same at that point in time. What gets free agents to come to New Orleans? Dead presidents printed on paper. Money.
Yeah.
You know how the Saints got it with Drew Brees? If the money was close, I get an opportunity to play with Drew. But it's most of the time, I'm going to sign with a team. It's all about money and nothing else. But if it's close, I'm going to take a hard look at that quarterback spot. And that's why they were getting guys that it was tight financially, but I get to play with Drew and the money's close. I'm going to go that direction.
Yeah, it's the same thing. If you could have your cake and eat it too, the one thing that players will not admit this, I want to win before the money. No, I'll tell you. They want the money and they want to win. So
exactly.
Now they can have both. And look, Davante Adams. He's like, all of a sudden, okay, I want to get paid.
Did he think the Jets were going to win or the Raiders?
He thought he wanted to get with Aaron Rodgers. See, that's what I'm saying, but he took the money first. And then you take the money first, then you go with the quarterback or an opportune time. Now, it doesn't mean it's going to work. You hope it's going to work. But, for instance, if Joe Burrow was playing with the Saints right now, who in the hell wouldn't want to go play with the Saints? Now, the Saints aren't cheap like the Bengals. The Bengals, they got to worry about paying Jamar Chase. And T. Higgins, poor thing.
He's not going back to Cincinnati. Now,
right.
Jamar's a different
and
story.
And they put the franchise tag on him. He's well compensated with T. Higgins, but he's going to move on. But Jamar, you look at as Joe Burrow, what do you think how dominant he's been, and they're not going to go to the postseason. Look at Jamar Chase. What is it? Touchdowns, yards, receptions, leading in everything. But, what does that really give you? Because that's how sorry at times the Bengals defense has been. They're not going to win. So when I look at, a player and where they're at in their career, Jimmy might not know that they're going to take the money before I have a chance to win a Super Bowl, but I'm going to go on the cheap. Now, if it's close, then yeah, obviously you go with the better situation.
The other thing too is look at Derrick Henry. Okay, he leaves the Titans. He's living right outside of Dallas.
He's a steal.
He basically was begging the Cowboys to sign him, and I think he would have took a little less from Dallas than anybody else just to be back in Dallas. And what happens? Jerry makes up a story about, well, we didn't have the money. He gives money to everybody else, but he didn't have money for Derrick Henry? Man, come on. I got mountain front property behind my home on the bayou, if you believe that.
Jerry Jones should have had money for Saquon Barkley or Derrick Henry. Or even, Mike, if you want to go, who left the Bengals. They didn't want to pay him. Look what he's doing. Joe Mixon. Who I always said, when they came in, I always looked at, Christian McCaffrey, Alvin Kamara, and then the three, and it was Joe Mixon. Didn't get maybe enough credit, but he was right there. The Bengals said, we can go without him, but look what he means to the Texans, now Joe Mixon.
Yeah, and they don't have the best offensive line.
Right.
But he's used to that. He played behind the Bengals' offensive line, which was lousy, and the Texans' offensive line is maybe a little better, but not that much better. To me, what's amazing to watch with the Chiefs, and Stink brought it up about all these tackles that are playing for the Chiefs. Now, again, they got a stud center in Creed Humphrey. And he's one of the best in the NFL.
What are you saying? On their fourth tackle?
On their fourth tackle.
The Saints couldn't get past two. I mean, somebody gets hurt, we'd be all we're not the same if we even going to our second choice. Now, can you imagine the Chiefs going in their fourth choice?
Because they got two legit guys. Trey Smith, who plays guard, former Tennessee guy, and Creed Humphrey. Other than that, who's the other starters for the Chiefs?
You consider journeyman, Mike?
That's what they got. Think about if I asked you, now you might have looked at it yesterday, who's the starting lineup for the Packers? Offensive line. Now, years ago, you might have said Bakhtiari. Okay, but he's not there anymore.
I only know the all-pro guys.
Okay.
I don't know all those other cats.
And to think how well they protected Jordan Love, it has most of the year.
You can make a sandwich.
And would they run the football so well?
No, at times, I'm looking like the crossing routes and they're wide open. You might say we might have had soft coverage or busted coverage. But it's not like the quarterback's throwing and we hitting them. even though you could still hit him if you closed him. No, we weren't even near the quarterback. So, Mike, we went from 8 sacks against Washington to 0 sacks against Green Bay. You know, I said, oh, maybe we might have a chance to close the season hard and be in the high 40s. I didn't even get to low 50s, but high 40s in sacks. Then you're hanging. But then we go from 8. Can we have a balance? I mean, you know, like Deuce, I remember talking with Deuce. We don't have to have 8, but can we have 2 or 3? Well, we had none.
Think about, if I'd have told you before the season, the team that you'd have got the most sacks with is, and I'd have gave you choices, there's no way you got the Commanders on that that dance card. No way.
Jane Daniels would escape or something.
But,
you wouldn't get
but
it
he
down.
Took the, he refused to throw the ball into tight coverage. He didn't do it.
Right.
I think, and that's being taught to him about, hey, listen, Jaden, in that spot,
protect the football.
Protect the ball, and we'll punt it if we have to. Yeah. We'll be back with more Second Guess right after this break here on the Big 870 WWL.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
It's James Kell from the Sleeper King Football Podcast. In fantasy football, sleepers can win you championships, and that's why I am here. Every episode is just 15 to 20 minutes long, every Tuesday through Friday. Subscribe to the Sleeper King Podcast on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your pods.
Back here on the Second Guest Show, Mike Dettelia along with the Cajun Cannon, Bobby Hebert, at the Silver Slipper Casino Beachside right here in Hancock County, Mississippi. Bobby and I will be on until 8 o'clock tonight, while we try to connect with Adam Hill, who covers the Raiders for the Las Vegas Review-Journal. We're going to kind of swing it, and we're going to go to triple option. So, Charlie, we'll let you take a swing at it first.
All right, guys, I got something lined up for you that I think is pretty interesting. We've talked a little bit about this as well. The Saints at 5-10 right now in Tankathon. They're picking 10th for the 2025 draft. And, you know, a lot of the times when you finish upwards of 5-12, you're picking, obviously, top 10. But this year's a little bit different, guys. I mean, I went back and looked at last year. I remember the Chargers were 5-12 when they picked Joe Alt at number 5. But if you're looking at last year's draft order, like, you know, Carolina was 2-15. They gave the Bears that number 1 overall pick. And then you had 3, 4, and 13 teams with Washington, New England, and Arizona. Once again, the Chargers were 5-12, picking at 5. The Giants and the Titans were both 6-11. But then the Falcons at 7-10 were picking at 8 last year. Guys, I think 7-10 would probably have you picking 13. It's so bad. Like, there's so many bad teams in the NFL this season. If currently on Tankathon, you have the Giants with 2-13, New England, Jacksonville, Tennessee, Cleveland, Vegas, all 3-12 this season. Carolina 4-11, New York 4-11, Chicago 4-11, and then you have the Saints at 5-10. I think it's going kind of underreported how bad the bottom, basically third of the NFL really is this year. That, you know, a 5-12 record, if the Saints really do lose their final two games, that would have probably given them a top 5 pick last year. Right now, guys, it's a bad year to be, you know, close to bad, because there's so many teams that are awful. So 5-12, I mean, you might be sitting at 8 or 9 at best, if not probably around 10 where they're picking right now.
Exactly. And so all this stuff about tanking, again, and I throw it back, if you do that at your job and see how long you're going to last, but a lot of people will write it and say it about tanking, but yet you don't understand how this draft order really is not going to move much.
It's so
Saints-wise,
bad at the top. I mean, it's
because
just,
it really is a huge difference.
Well, if the Raiders are trying to tank and you play.
Well, they didn't tank last week.
But no.
They won.
They won, and the Raiders fans are all ticked off.
Because they wanted Shamir.
Didn't they go from like 1 or 2 to number 6?
They're number 6 right now in the current order, guys. And if you're looking at it, the Raiders are one of six teams in the NFL this year that are already at 12 losses with 2 weeks left to go. And once again, if you're looking at what it was last year, there were only five teams that had 12 or fewer losses. And we still have 2 weeks left.
Yeah, like, still have two games.
It's just awful. The Giants, the Patriots, Jacksonville, Tennessee, Cleveland, Vegas, they're all terrible teams this year. And, I mean, even if the Saints do lose out and go 5-12, once again, my point to everyone listening, how high can they go? I mean, maybe upwards of eight.
Eight, yeah.
And that would be about it.
Yeah, exactly.
That would be about it.
Eight, nine, or ten, somewhere around
so
there.
So here's my deal. They've not picked well. I don't care if they pick in 12, 14, 18, 22. If the autumn adjusts two or three picks, all of a sudden, because they have a higher pick, they're going to pick better? Come on. This team's not picking well, not because of where they pick. Well, it's who they pick.
And, you know, Charlie and Mike, whoever they pick, 8, 9, or 10th, whatever, ain't no developmental.
You better play.
How about somebody comes and play? Take every position, maybe, but running back. Every position is up, and they're contributing from the get-go. I even say, okay, if it's a skill player, okay, well, that cat's up for rookie of the year. He's so damn good. And that, we don't need to develop nobody. But we need somebody contributing from the get-go. And not, no, all be patient. You know, we're trying to develop. No, we don't need that. But we had.
I don't want to hear about no patient for no early round pick.
Yeah, we had enough of development with Davenport and Peyton Turner and all that stuff. No,
And all this hype with Kendra Miller. Okay, Kendra what did Miller. He do last night? Man, he make mistake after mistake. He doesn't pick up a blitz. Doesn't hit the right hole a couple times. All of a sudden, he's watching. Mims is playing.
Kendra Miller averaged 1.9 yards a carry. and you know what? And now think about this, Mike. Okay, Kendra Miller ran eight times for 15 yards. Mims ran four times for 16. So Mims averaged 4 yards a carry. So Mims actually did better. Now, I think I wish Rattler would have been a little more touch on those check down throws to him, you know, but if it hit your hands, catch it, but kind of thing. But Mike and Charlie, I'm going with this, with my triple option. In honor of, I still call it 1AA football, even though it's FCS and the title game, and I'm going to bring up the future of the NCAA and the FCA title games going back to Tennessee. You know, they play in Frisco, Texas, you know, just north of Dallas. But, boy, when you think about this, it is truly the Midwest or the Dakotas or Montana. North Dakota State, the Bison, beat South Dakota State 28-21.
That was a hell of a game. I actually watched it.
Yeah, so the Bison beat the Jackrabbits, and then Montana State, The Bobcats, my best friend, went to University of Montana. That's the Grizzlies. This is the Bobcats. So Montana State beat South Dakota, the Coyotes, 31-17. So you're going to have North Dakota State versus Montana State in the championship game. But that's not why. I'm just telling you, that's what's coming up. It brought to my attention. If you look at the NCAA, it's taking the football championship subdivision title game back to Tennessee. Mike, you know, I was part of this when it was part in Chattanooga. Do you know I gave, like, the Heisman Trophy of the 1AA? I gave that to Brian Westbrook at a ceremony.
Oh, with the Eagles?
Yes.
Was with Villanova?
Villanova. I gave him the damn trophy. I drove up from Atlanta to Chattanooga. We had a banquet and all that, and I gave him the award. It's like the 1AA Heisman Trophy. We all know what Brian Westbrook meant to the Eagles.
He was a really good player.
So, you know, Walter Payton and all that stuff. But anyway, so the NCAA Football Championship Subdivision game is going back to Tennessee when the game's at the end of 2025. Obviously, this year they're still going to be in Frisco, but in 2025, they're going back into 2026 seasons. You know where they're playing? They're not going back to Chattanooga. They're going to play in Nashville on Vanderbilt's campus. You know where they built that new stadium? They're going to Nashville, Vanderbilt's campus this season. It's at Toyota Stadium, January 6th in Frisco, Texas, which will host the game for the record 15th season in a row. So, like I said, I was part of that late 90s and, you know, early turn of the century when it was in Chattanooga. Now, NCAA officials, they said that if you look, they looked at all other sites and all that, But the one thing why they're still in Frisco, because they wanted to transition, who's going to pay for the game and all that. But they looked at other sites, but because of the multi-year renovation project plan at the 20,500-seat stadium, now it's a professional soccer stadium, that's in Frisco, and it's less than 30 miles north of downtown Dallas, and we can't wait for that. So it's not going to be ready, so they're going to Vanderbilt. So Vanderbilt's campus stadium is in the process. Mike, the multi-year renovation, that's going to be completed by next year. And guess what? In 2025, you know who's playing at Vanderbilt? The LSU Fighting Tigers. So they're going to be playing in that new stadium, and that's where they're going to have the 1AA championship, or I should say football championship subdivision, which, they'll probably be in the game next year or be in the hunt. It'll be one of them damn Dakotas or Montana or something.
One of the things, too, is the Titans are building a new stadium right outside of Nashville. And so eventually that game will be played in that new stadium. Now,
so you're talking about the LSU Vanderbilt game?
No.
Okay.
The championship game.
So they're going to go from the Vanderbilt campus
to the new facilities in Nashville that Titans will build. And man, they've laid it out. It's a couple of $1 billion that they're spending on a brand new stadium in Nashville for the Titans.
Well, it just sounds more sexy. I don't know. Nashville versus Frisco, Texas. I know it's 30 miles north of Dallas, but.
Yeah, because first thing you bring up, Frisco, what? You in California?
Yeah. You're not thinking of Texas.
You're not
a suburb of Dallas, yeah.
I saw this stat. It really caught my eye. Quarterbacks who have been sacked the most this year. And number one on the list is Caleb Williams. Now, Caleb is no stiff guy in the pocket. He's been sacked 60 times this year. The season isn't over with.
That means he don't know what he's doing.
And I was fixing to say
that. No, he don't know what he's doing.
And so, man, when you talk about 60 sacks and you still got a couple games left to play.
He's ad-libbing. You can't run around as the NFL. You can ad-lib and make plays in high school and college. The NFL, they'll freaking track you down and slam you. But I mean, come on.
The other list is interesting. The two on the list, C.J. Stroud. Now, he's not playing behind the five blocks of Grant.
So has he regressed, Mike? Sophomore slump?
I think that, and somewhat. Some of it, too, with the receiving court has been knocked out. Man, you lose Tank Dell. He lost Nico Collins for a long period. And
man,
remember Stephon Diggs.
But like, he lost Tank Dell. I mean, he was crying like a baby. I'm like, man, is Tank Dell going to die or something? I show emotion. I cry. You know, I can say that as a man that I've cried, but if you look at C.J. Stroud during the game,
he looked emotionally upset.
Yes, and I think Tank Dell's his best friend. He knew what he's been going through, and I think that definitely affected him. But I was like, whoa! And when I saw that happen, I said he's not going to be able to get it done the rest of the game.
When that happened, I said that's it.
Yeah,
the Texans. They're not going to win this game.
Right.
So Stroud's got 47 sacks. Geno Smith, a veteran player, and he's not a stiff guy either, along with Sam Darnold, they've gotten 45 sacks, taken 45 sacks.
You know, sometimes your arm can be too good. That all of a sudden you always trust in your arm, and Mike, you want to hang in there at the last second instead of just making a positive play and getting the ball out of your hands. I'm telling you. Everybody wants to blame when you see all these sacks. All of these quarterbacks, the offensive line must suck. It's not necessarily always the case. It is the team stat when you look at sacks. It's the running backs and tight ends blocking like the offensive line, the quarterback knowing always where his outlets are, and the receivers doing the right thing on timing and all that. So when they say, I'm not saying the Bears' offensive line is good, but I'm saying Caleb Williams might make the Bears' offensive line even worse than what it really
worse,
is.
Oh, worse, sir.
Guys. Yeah. I guarantee you put a guy like Matthew Stafford or some guy on that Bears team.
He ain't getting no 60 sacks.
No, he might get sacked 30.
He might get sacked after that.
About the next two guys. One, he don't know what he's doing. That's Will Levis.
Titans.
I mean, he's a deer in the headlights.
But he makes a great Mayo commercial, Duke Mayo, showing his guns and all. Like Duke
and
Mayo.
The other guy, Justin Herbert, with 40 sacks.
Whoa. Now
that surprised me of all the guys Herbert with 40. Because Harbaugh's always preached about pass protection and running the football, offensive line play.
Well, and you know, that's the problem, because Harbaugh would be one that would get that ball out versus, you know, with Justin Herbert. But I'm telling you, Justin Herbert, you know, they think they could fit it between everyone, so they're hanging in there. Then they take a sack. Oh, if I take a sack, I'll make up for it. But you know what? A lot of these players, you know one thing they don't want to do? You know, say you got to know where your outlets are. You know what they don't want to do, a lot of them? Throw a damn incompletion. You know, the completion percentage. They don't want to be like, okay, you can wait, Mike, and all of a sudden, man, I'm a 50% passer in this day and age.
You need to worry about your stats.
Yeah, no,
I agree with you.
I'm telling you, I played it. I know it. I know our quarterbacks think. They go like, damn, I want to make a good play and all that, but I can't be throwing all these damn incompletions. They'll be like, yeah, I'm not accurate with the football. No, the quarterbacks know that. I guarantee they know that. Guys, I'm going to take a sack instead of throwing incompletion.
The ahead, inverse, Charlie, as well, as far as the fewest sacks by team, I think it's pretty interesting to kind of throw up there as well. The Bills have only given up 14 sacks, and I think there's kind of a trend here, and I think you'll notice it as soon as I kind of run down this list until maybe you get to, you know, L.A. and the Rams. But the Bills have given up 14 sacks this year, the Packers 16, the Broncos 22. I know the Broncos' offensive line, that's also been kind of underreported. They've been playing awesome this year. The Ravens at 23, the Cardinals at 26, and the Colts at 27. I don't know, guys. I'm seeing a lot of mobile quarterbacks in that list as well.
Exactly. I think that does help. But guess what? Jaden Daniels has been sacked 38 times, and so has Jalen Hurts.
Yeah.
Both those guys are mobile quarterbacks.
Now think about this. Okay, Jordan Love is not going to run like Jaden Daniels.
No, he can't run. He's not.
But he might extend plays. How many times will we sack Jordan Love?
Zero.
And Jaden Daniels, we sacked him 8 times. So I'm telling you, it depends, the rhyme or reason. But Charlie, I'd like, who's the lowest sack quarterback?
No, it's Josh Allen.
Yeah, Josh Allen's only been sacked 14 times this year.
No, and Charlie, remember I told you I was so proud of myself and played 60 games. In 15 games, I got sacked 12 times in 15 games. And then the last game, I got sacked 3 times, so I had 15 sacks in 16 games when we played the Bills. And I was so proud of that because, you know, Dan Marino, get rid of the ball. He got sacked like 24 times. And I'm telling you, I know what it takes. And it's still to be like a 60% passer. It's knowing where to go with the outlets. And like, for instance, like, you know, like a check down. I'm a big fan of yards after the catch. I was like, I'd throw it, dump it off. I'd be telling Dalton Hill, you go. Go, go. I'm yelling. Just go. All I do is throw it about 8 yards. And I'm like, you juke. All of a sudden, oh, look at Don. He made a couple of people miss. It's like a 50-yard touchdown. So it looks like I'm at it through a 50-yard bomb. You don't have to throw it a country mile. You got to know where to go with the ball and be accurate. Drew Brees did a great job.
Oh, Drew was famous for that,
you know,
too.
You do like a option route, depending on the leverage. You can't throw it behind the receiver. You can't throw it too high, too low. Be accurate even the defender, so when they catch the ball, they can turn it up. Then all of a sudden, it looks like a simple pass. Oh, that should have been a 6-yard gain. Then it's a 12, 13-yard gain.
Okay.
That's what you got. You got to be accurate with the ball and get it out of your hands. Let the playmakers be playmakers.
Just think about how many offensive linemen, actually by the Packers, how many offensive linemen can you name me from Buffalo?
No, the same thing. No,
so you're not talking about teams loaded with all kind of offensive line talent, but as a group, they are very good.
How they mesh together.
That does matter
also. How
they're
all in sequence. That's what I'm telling you. A lot of times I watch the Saints, and I can't think of the game right now. Mike, help me out here. Was it maybe it was like one game where it looks like the offensive line is not blocking well, and I'm like saying, what's that, the offensive line? The damn tight ends ain't blocking nobody.
Foster Morrow, boy, he missed a couple of them.
Was that the Giants?
Juwan Johnson also.
I'm like saying, okay, you think, oh, the offensive line sucks. No, they're part of that. The freaking tight ends, they're getting beat inside. Who is that guy, Burns?
Brian Burns. Every play was in the backfield.
Burns was burning them. I'm like, come on. And then the offensive line gets the blame as the damn tight end that don't get beat on the inside. You got to let him go around. But then same thing with a running back. What do you see a running back? They come in.
And he whiffs.
And then he whiffs. And then all of a sudden, oh, the offensive line sucks. No, the damn running back pass blocking sucks.
We'll
now,
be back with more Second Guess right after this break here on the Big 870 WWL. Back here on the Second Guess Show, Mike DeTillo along with the Cajun Cannon, Bobby Hebert. Hey, you can join Bobby J, Mike Hoss, myself, Saturday for a special edition of Sports Talk live from Rouse's Market. Downtown New Orleans in the CBD. We'll talk Saints football, the top NFL matchups, and also all the news about the college bowl games and the playoff system. You can also shop for everything you need to entertain for the holiday season or New Year's coming right around the corner right after Christmas. Celebrate football and get ready for the new year with the two Cajuns, myself along with Bobby, and the voice of the Saints, Mike Hollis at Rouse's Markets on Barone in downtown New Orleans, Saturday morning, 9 a.m. to noontime, right here on the Big 870 and free on the Odyssey app. We'll be back with more sports talk right after this break here on the Big 870 WWL. We're finishing up here in our number three of sports talk and Second Guess right here on the Big 870 WWL. We didn't get to talk too much about it because of how the weekend kind of broke down in Monday Night Football, but Brian Thomas, former LSU wideout, now with Jacksonville. He becomes one of six rookies since 2000 to reach 1,000-yard-plus receiving yards. He's got 1,055 and nine-plus receiving touchdowns. He's got nine. He joins company with the receivers that did that before. Odell Beckham Jr. with the Giants. Kelvin Benjamin with the Panthers. Jamar Chase, another LSU guy with Bengals. Cincinnati. Mike Evans with the Bucks. Michael Thomas with the Saints.
Well, that means you can count on him. He's being available. You can hold him accountable, and that's not an opinion. That's what he's done.
You're talking about a guy with big playability, and I thought it would take him a little while to get accustomed to the NFL. He did not have a lot of playing time in high school. He was really more of a basketball player, track athlete. Then he blossomed that last year with LSU. But for him to take the league like that, that really surprised me how quickly he adjusted to the NFL. And you talk about a guy that can run. Bob, he can flat out haul tail once he gets a football in his hands. Brian Thomas on a sorry team in Jacksonville.
And he's being a pro.
Man,
he's being a pro.
He ain't losing. Now, Jacksonville is, but he's not losing when he gets out on the field.
That's how you last double digits, and you can play for over a decade plus. That no matter what your circumstance, are you winning, are you losing? Because everyone's being evaluated. And, Mike, and another thing, speaking of losing, Steve Gellert sent me this. This is from, I think, hashtag Packers made history last night. And, you know, I love history. No NFL team has ever done this in a single game. Okay, 30-plus points in a shutout. But wait, it continues. About six or seven things. 30-plus points in a shutout, 400-plus yards while allowing under 200, zero turnovers, so you're not throwing any interceptions or fumbles, zero sacks taken, and zero missed kicks. So he just sent me that. And it's like a team has never done that in an NFL game. So I just it figures the Saints
would
be a part of that.
Yesterday was 52 years ago, one of the greatest plays in NFL history, the Immaculate Reception with Franco. Terry Bradshaw, man, throws one out there. He's hoping Frenchie Fuqua can make the catch, and Jack Tatum, like he normally does, would do, he just goes high, and the ball just ricochets away from both of them. Franco's sitting there, kind of trailing the play. The ball hits him in the hands, and he just takes off running.
Right, because it wasn't a Hail Mary throw. Mike,
no!
Okay, I'm going to ask you this. I mean, Luke, we all know the Immaculate Reception. Is that the most improbable, greatest play ever, the significance in NFL history? I think it might be.
It's one of them.
I'm not talking about because it was way more lucky than a Hail Mary.
Way more lucky.
Yeah, but when you look what occurred and how far you had to go, No,
because it wasn't a 10-yard run.
No.
Watch where Franco catches that ball and takes off running downfield with it. Bob, he went 60 yards with the catch.
No,
60. It wasn't a 5-yard or a 10-yard run, 60. And it became part of a Popeyes commercial. I think most people remember that part of it became part of a Popeyes commercial later on.
You know, someone, Charlie, you might know if you thought there's more a significant game changer in NFL history. I don't know, because that was highly improbable. You know, it was highly
because you know why the Steelers weren't very good, and all of a sudden they got to be a good team, and now they playing the Raiders.
John Madden,
and that team.
Man football, hello.
John always said that he felt that team would have won the Super Bowl that year. They were that good, and who scores late in the game on a run? Snake. He runs 30-something yards on a running touchdown, gets him ahead with him running the ball. Now, Snake, at that time, could still move around pretty well.
Yeah.
But you wouldn't think that's what got you the lead. And then this happens right after, that ricochet. And that thing's been broken down, almost like the Zapruder film when President Kennedy got shot. It's been broken down, like, shot for shot for shot on if Frenchie actually touched it or not, and the way the ball ricocheted, it would almost seem like Tatum did get his hands or got some body part on it.
No, the immaculate reception and all that. Now, the one play I'd say, how did we lose that game? Like, if you were if you were a Raiders fan, how did we lose that game? That was kind of like the Minneapolis miracle. But to me, we just got to tackle him. You know, when, was it Case Keenum, when he throws the ball in there? Come on, Marcus Williams.
All Tatum had to do was tackle Frenchie.
Yeah. No,
that's all he had to do.
But they're going for the ball and all that. But that the way the ball was bouncing, to me, that was the craziest, one of the craziest play ever in NFL history.
Coach Madden was right about this. It's the only play in football history. The guy crosses the goal line. All the referees looking at one another. You did not see one of them put his hands up in the air until much, much later. So Madden was like, okay, if y'all weren't sure, there was no instant replay back then.
Right.
And so all the referees sort of looking, okay, what exactly happened, guys? And then finally, somebody gets on a phone and calls somebody upstairs. It's never been revealed exactly who Jim Tunney talked to. And he throws his hands up in the air. Now, Al Davis would always say, he called up in the air and he said, listen, if I tell you what I think happened on that play, how many cops can you get me to escort me off this field? And he said, he heard back six. He said, six? That's it? Six for Pittsburgh. End of the story.
Yeah, end of story.
Think about, that's really one of the few plays in NFL history. A guy crosses the end zone.
Nobody's seeing touchdown.
Everybody's looking at one another. What exactly happened on that play?
Well, and think about the Saints and how we just want to be relevant right now. We're not even saying, okay, black and gold in the Super Bowl. We're not even saying to that, repeat that. We just want to be relevant. I mean, right now, I'm like hoping and praying, can we be like the Minneapolis Miracle days? Can we beat a Nolan no-call? I know how frustrating it was, but think how relevant we were. Think about how we lost to Minneapolis here in the Nolan no-call. The refs don't cheat us. We're going to the damn Super Bowl. We could score more than 3 points. That was one of the most boring Super Bowls ever. Think about that. The Patriots won 13-3. We just scored more than 3 damn points. When I look at that. So I'm just hoping, look, you want to win that second Super Bowl, but can we get back to there? Can we be relevant, at least be in the postseason? You know, can we be kind of like the NFC North? That would be awesome. Think about this, how competitive, if the NFC South, how entertaining that would be like the NFC North. You know how the Lions, the Packers, and the Vikings, how they're all relevant. What if that would be, I don't know, Carolina, you don't have to say the Falcons, but if you had 3 out of the 4 would be that relevant down to the wire in the NFC South like the NFC North.
Okay.
That's what the fans want.
Just think about it. They may have 3 teams in the same division win 12 games or more.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Just kind of fathom that. 3 teams in one division win 12 games or more this year. And most likely that'll happen in the NFC North.
NFC North, ain't no joke.
We'll be back with more sports talk here on the Big 870 on Second Guess right after this news break here on the Big 870 WWL.